coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Welcome to Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK on the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Many of the cantatas we have heard over the course of the church year are chorale cantatas, that is, cantatas that are based on a Lutheran hymn. Johann Sebastian Bach wrote almost a whole church year's worth of them in 1724 and 1725, and one or two others later on. One question you might ask about the whole enterprise is, what's the point of it? Why take a hymn, a combination of poetry and music, only to turn it into a different combination of poetry and music? We'll be answering that question in today's program as we study and then listen to another chorale cantata. The answer doesn't only give an explanation for the purpose of the chorale cantatas, but all the cantatas, and indeed virtually all the sacred music written not only by Bach, but almost all his contemporaries, and a good number of his predecessors in the Lutheran Church. Hello, I'm Tapani Simayoki, and when I'm not moonlighting on Lutheran Radio UK, I serve as the pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham, in the middle of England's lovely south coast. If you haven't already, please do visit the congregation's website at oslc.org.uk to find out more about our life and work here in Fareham and at our new mission in Brighton, and to listen to sermons and Bible studies online. One of the important questions for all church musicians, and indeed for clergy and congregations, is, what is the role of music in worship? Of course, much music in the church's worship is there to set and adorn the text of the liturgy and the hymns and songs of the church. What sort of music ought to be used to set these texts? How should they be accompanied? What about other music? Should there be any other music? What kinds of music are appropriate? Can there be instrumental music? What's it all there for? The answer to these questions has varied from era to era and from one Christian denomination to another. It's not uncommon to go to church services where the congregation is reduced to a concert audience, listening to and hopefully appreciating the efforts of the professionals who do the music making. This phenomenon occurs across the board, in modern megachurches, in Anglican cathedrals of the last few centuries, in 16th century Roman Catholic city churches. Other churches are so indifferent to the role of music in worship that almost anything goes, and little attention is paid to anything other than that the job gets somehow done. Both of these extremes would have been completely alien to the devout and diligent Lutheran church musician that was Johann Sebastian Bach, and to most of his colleagues. For Bach, music had a very specific task in the church, whether that music was accompanying congregational singing, or playing a chorale prelude on the organ, or performing a cantata. That task was to move the hearers, the congregation. By this I don't mean mere emotional manipulation. Rather, the music was there to present the words of the liturgy, the biblical text, the text of a hymn, or the libretto of a cantata, in such a way as to drive them home to the hearts of the hearers. It served as a handmaiden to theology, to assist proclamation, and to give added rhetorical force to it. This is why Baroque composers such as Bach took such pains to find the most appropriate musical expression for the words they were setting. They used all their skill to paint significant words and phrases, to create the right atmosphere and mood for the words with harmony, rhythm and instrumentation, and composed melodies best suited to bringing out the meaning, and amplifying it in such a way as to make sure that the hearers, the Christian congregation, were not left untouched by what they heard. The right words combined with the right music, the perfect tool for kindling a response of faith. This overriding concern in cantata writing also explains why it made perfect sense to write chorale cantatas. When the words of the hymn were recast as poetic paraphrases and reset as choral fantasias, arias and recitatives, the familiar congregational song was dressed in a fresh garb, designed to make a fresh impact on the gathered assembly, to move them in a new way to repentance and to faith. You're listening to Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK with me, Tapani Simayoki. Today's cantata is BWV 33, aligned to Dir Heil Jesu Christ, on You Alone, Lord Jesus Christ. It is based on the hymn of the same name by the Strasbourg theologian Conrad Hubert, written sometime around 1540 and set to an originally secular tune from 1512 by Paul Hofheimer. As usual, Bach's now unknown librettist left the first and last stanzas of the hymn untouched, but recast the middle stanzas. In this case, with long stanzas of 9 lines, both the second and the third verses are split into a recitative and an aria each, giving us 6 movements altogether. The opening movement is a complex and beautifully woven chorale fantasia in the Italian style. The orchestral introduction, which is reminiscent of the opening movement of the Christmas oratorio, consists of a rapidly rising figure played by two oboes chasing each other upwards. Just as the rapid descending figure of the Christmas oratorio represents the incarnation, the coming down from heaven to earth of God's Son, these rising scales are like the ringlets of the incense of prayer that ascends to God's heavenly throne. The chorale is sung in a fairly simple setting by the choir, with the orchestra playing a musical interlude or ritornello passage between each line. These ritornellos present ever new variations on the opening musical theme. The words of the first verse set the theme for the whole hymn. On the one hand, the Christian's consciousness of his sin, and on the other, the hope-filled appeal to God's grace in Jesus Christ. On you alone, Lord Jesus Christ, my hope on earth depends. I know that you are my comforter. There is no comfort for me elsewhere, for from the beginning is nothing chosen. No man has been born on earth that can help me out of my distress. I call to you in whom I have my trust. This double theme occupies the first recitative for the bass. My God and judge, if you want to question me by the law, then I am unable, since my conscience speaks against me, to say one thing to a thousand questions. In my soul's strength I am weak, and in my love bare, and my sin is heavy and too great, but since I repent my sins from my heart, you will, my God and refuge, through your word of forgiveness, give me joy again. There is a wonderful realism in these words, taking equally seriously both the guilt of sin and the certainty of God's gracious promise of forgiveness. Therefore, the tone is not that of lamentation, but rather of firm declaration. Bach moves the hearer to an appreciation of God's gracious promise by setting the final line about the joy that follows forgiveness as a brief but very expressive arioso. What follows has been called by no lesser an authority than the renowned English conductor and Bach specialist John Elliott Gardiner, one of the most beautiful alto arias Bach ever wrote. Considering that some of the most beautiful arias Bach wrote were for the alto, that is high praise indeed. Accompanied by muted violins and plucked or pizzicato lower strings, the alto line reflects the undulating theme of the violins. Again, when we consider the words, Bach's musical setting makes perfect sense. How fearfully were faltering my footsteps. But Jesus listens to my entreaties and bears witness for me to his Father. The burden of my sins weighed down heavily on me, but Jesus' word of comfort reassures me that he has done enough for me. And so we hear the faltering footsteps of the terrified sinner in their plucked strings, while the flowing melodies of violin and singer alike express the underlying optimism born of the knowledge that Jesus will speak favorably for him to God the Father. Now comes the second recitative, for the tenor, based on the first half of the third stanza. My God, do not cast me away, even though every day I still overstep your commandment, from your face. The smallest thing is far too difficult for me to keep. But if I pray for nothing more than Jesus' assistance, no conflict of conscience can take my confidence away from me. In your mercy give me only true Christian faith. This faith is apparent in good fruits, and will be active through love. The double theme of the sinner's incorrigibly sinful ways and his complete confidence in Jesus' willingness and ability to come to his rescue is thus developed in a new direction. Bach brings his customary skill in giving dramatic color to recitative writing to bear on these words, highlighting both the natural inflection of the German sentences and the dominant mood of each line. The second aria is a duet for tenor and bass, and it continues to dwell on the message of the third stanza. God, you who are called love, are kindle my spirit. Towards you before everything else, let my love powerfully get through. Grant that from a pure impulse I may love my neighbor as myself. If enemies disturb my peace, then send me your help. Here again Bach finds a subtle but unmistakable set of musical devices with which to present the words to the congregation. The central message of this movement is love, God's being as love, and the prayer that his love would kindle love in the Christian towards both God and neighbour. And so, instead of his usual polyphonic writing, Bach has the two oboes playing in the warm, lovable intervals of thirds and sixths, and playing everything together. Likewise, the two soloists sing mostly together in thirds and sixths, or else in imitation of one another. Another perfect use of music to drive the words beyond the intellect into the heart of the hearer. The closing movement is a beautiful harmonization of the final stanza of the chorale. Honor be to God on his highest throne, the Father of all goodness, and to Jesus Christ, his dear Son, who at all times watches over us, and to God, the revered Holy Spirit, so that we may be well-pleasing to him here in time and follow him in eternity. Bach adds to his already skillful harmonization an emphatic arrangement of the second and fourth lines, the Father of all goodness and who at all times watches over us, highlighting the Christian's complete confidence in God's goodwill. Thus he brings to his conclusion this tour de force in the vital skill of harnessing music to assist in the proclamation of God's word to the Church. Here to perform Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata No. 33, Allein zu dir, Herr Jesu Christ, is the Choir and Orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan, directed by Masaki Suzuki. The soloists are Robin Blaze, countertenor, Gerd Türk, tenor, and Peter Koi, bass. The recording is found in Volume 24 of Bach Collegium Japan's complete cycle of Bach's sacred cantatas, published by the Swedish record label BIS, and made available to Lutheran Radio UK by the home of high-quality classical downloads, eclassical.com. The English translation of the libretto is by Francis Brown on the website bach-cantatas.com.
und Richter, willst du mich aus dem Gesetze fragen? So kann ich nicht, weil mein Gewissen widerspricht, auf tausend eines sagen, an Seelenkräften arm und an der Liebe bloß. Und meine Sünd ist schwer und übergroß, doch weil sie mir vom Herzen reuen, wirst du, mein Gott und Hort, durch ein Vergebungswort mich wieder erfreuen.
Thank you. Der Zuversicht berauben. Gib mir nur aus Barmherzigkeit den wahren Christen Glauben. So stellt er sich mit guten Früchten ein und wird durch Liebe tätig sein.
Thank you.
That was Cantata No. 33, a line to Dear Herr Jesu Christ by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by Bach Collegium Japan and soloists Robin Blaise, Gerd Türk and Peter Coey, conducted by Masaki Suzuki. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Sunday Cantata. Don't forget that all the past episodes of Sunday Cantata are available on Lutheran Radio UK's website, lutheranradio.co.uk, together with podcast episodes of all the rest of our wide variety of programmes. If you would like to get in touch about any aspect of the programme, the email is info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Join me again next week. In the meantime, I hope you have a blessed week filled with God's gracious gifts. I'm Tapani Simayoki, pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.